The following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Hello, this is Dasha, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from the November 21st to 27th. Issue of the Buffalo Business First on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. On the cover of this issue, you have three people from the 40 under 40 special section, which is included in this issue. Three of the early stories in this issue are about shopping malls. From Amherst, Costco gets a permit to build warehouse. Costco has officially gotten approval to build a warehouse in Amherst. The town of Amherst, on October 28th, issued a permit for Costco to construct its building, including plumbing and electrical, at 4230 Ridge Lee Road. This long-anticipated store will be Western New York's first Costco location. Despite Costco not commenting or confirming the location, there have been breadcrumbs since news broke in spring 2022 that the warehouse is definitely coming to Amherst. The retailer has told Business First that the company's policy is not to share details until usually 2 to 3 months before opening. The Amherst Costco already had a foundation permit, and the only remaining permit needed is for Costco to build its gas facility, according to the town. MG2 Corporation, a Seattle-based global architecture and design firm that is partnered with Costco, filed a building permit application last fall that the town finished reviewing earlier this year. Building the Costco retail warehouse will cost nearly $22.49 million, according to the application. In August, Costco bought the Ridgely Road site for $6 million. Earlier this month, Costco filed for a state liquor license under the grocery store category for the Amherst location. That application is still under review. What's new at Quaker Crossing? Orchard Park Center lost two national tenants this year, but also gained two. The Buffalo retail scene is seeing the impacts of national industry trends. Take Quaker Crossing, located at 3420 Amelia Drive in Orchard Park, about 2 miles from the Buffalo Bills new stadium. The shopping center has two vacancies, 2,000 square feet previously occupied by Claire's and roughly 8,200 square feet that was formerly iFlooring. Both brands closed many stores nationally as part of bankruptcy processes. Most of our current tenants have been with us from the beginning, and we have fortunately only lost a small few, not because of their individual lack of success at our center, but instead due to national bankruptcies, said Carly Calarico, lease administrator, in an email. Quaker Crossing has welcomed one new national tenant this year, and another's on its way. J. Crew Factory opened in March, and Half-Baked Cookies is expected to open in late fall or early winter. The center expects to have another national retailer tenant announcement in the coming months, according to Calarico. She did not disclose the tenant. The plaza already includes big-name tenants like Regal Cinemas, Dick's Sporting Goods, Kohl's, Target, Orville's Home Appliances, PetSmart, Marshall's, Ashley Home Store, Home Goods, and Red Robin. Other tenants include Chapter Aesthetic Studio, Milan Laser Hair Removal, and Supercuts. Our objective remains focused on maintaining the exceptionally low vacancy rate we have consistently achieved from the beginning, Calarico said via email, by carefully curating a mix of impressive national and local retailers, we continue to reinforce our status as the premier shopping destination of the South Towns. Owned by Gerald Buchholz, the Orchard Park Plaza has potential to expand. Orchard Park in 2021 approved a 31,000 square foot outbuilding at the site, which the plaza still lists on his website as leasable space that could be split into multiple spaces. The start of construction will depend on securing tenants. And from Clarence, what stores are still open at the Eastern Hills Mall? It's been nearly 2 years since Eastern Hills Mall interior closed, making way for partial demolition and redevelopment into a town center, mixed-use project. 18 tenants remain open in the largely vacant property with access to external entrances. Outdoor and sporting goods retailer Orvis will close by early 2026, the chain recently announced. JCPenney, too, remains open and has no plans to close, a spokesperson told Business First, though JCPenney closed its local optical department and has closed stores elsewhere. Also still in business are Duff's Famous Wings, Locke's Salon, the Erie County Department of Motor Vehicles, Kids Bounce, Bison's Billiards, Pure Integrity Candles, Sports Performance Park, Raymore and Flanagan Home Furnishings Gallery, Raff and Friends, WBBZ-TV, Mr. Christmas, Vessel Church, Sleep in Heavenly Peace, and Jane Lee Comfort Footwear. Two tenants in separate buildings also remain open, Epic Church Buffalo and Firestone Complete Auto Care. Stores that have left in spring 2024, Niagara Emporium Antique Mall announced that it was moving from the Clarence Mall to the Fashion Outlets of Niagara Falls. Krashiki Bakery is moving from its mall space and closing its sister companies there, Business First previously reported. The bakery is moving to Lancaster. Steel Leaf Brewing Company also closed to move to Buffalo. Future redevelopment. Work has been on hold while the project got necessary approvals, but millions of dollars of public infrastructure work are needed for the residential portion. The start date of the first phase of the Uniland Development Company's project has not yet been set. In the section First Things First, October's top five CRE deals. Here's a look at the largest transactions recorded last month in the Erie County Clerk's office. For $32 million, more than 100 parcels in Cheektowaga. Buyer, Buffalo Equity I, LLC, and Buffalo 1, LLC, and Buffalo Equity 2, LLC. The seller was LMW Properties, LLC, and 430 Delaware, LLC. Description. Affiliates of local firm Pillar Real Estate Investors sold dozens of apartment properties on George Urban Boulevard, Arthur Massara Parkway, Zent Court, Claudette Court, Poinciana Parkway, and Genesee Street. The deal included 340 units. For $10 million at 125 Washington Street in Buffalo, the buyer, Golisaro Business COE Incorporated, seller Jamal's News, LLC. Description, the Golisano Institute of Business and Entrepreneurship will renovate the former Buffalo News building with plans to accept its first cohort of students by fall. Developer Douglas Jamal sold the 160,000 square foot building about a year after buying it for $5.2 million. For $7.65 million at 8750 Transit Road in Amherst, the buyer, Excelsior Property Holdings 4, LLC. The seller, NPC, LLC. Description. An affiliate of Excelsior Orthopedics purchased the 35,000 square foot medical office building that it has occupied since 2019 from its former landlord, an affiliate of local developer Regent Companies. Excelsior CEO David Uba said the practice will renovate the Transit Road building over the coming months. For $5.9 million at 3060 Abbott Road, Hamburg, 869 Niagara Falls Boulevard, Amherst, and 4614 Main Street in Amherst, the buyer, Milestone Funeral Services of New York, LLC, the seller, Carriage Funeral Holdings, Incorporated. Description, Lombardo Funeral Homes' three locations have been sold to a national investor that specializes in funeral homes, who is bringing back former owner Joseph Lombardo as a partner. And for $2.38 million at 5165 Main Street in Amherst, the buyer is DEL Associates, 37 LLC, the seller M&K 1361 Associates, LLC. The description, Benderson Development has purchased an Amherst Starbucks property. Eric Raccoon, Vice President of Development and Leasing for the company, said that Starbucks is expected to remain a tenant. And in the section Power People, His mindset: people have to be allowed to fail. Q&A. William Maggio wants Buffalo to prioritize an, quote, abundance mindset over a scarcity mindset, end quote. He says that Buffalo has historically operated from the latter, where people get to a point where they have a lot of influence and they focus on expanding that influence. Maggio said he prefers channeling his influence into cultivating the next generation of leaders. He's focusing on accelerating leadership transitions within many businesses in his portfolio. One message he shares with those future leaders: don't be afraid to take risks or make mistakes and learn from them. Maggio said qualified people get jobs because they're good at what they do, but he's noticed a trend hindering people's ability to reach their full potential. They get into these roles, and because our nation is so polarized, they're afraid to act. They're afraid to take risks, he said. They're afraid to because people's careers get destroyed if they say one wrong thing, right? And I think that's a scarcity mindset. I think people have to be allowed to fail. That's the conclusion he has reached after a decade plus of heavy involvement with nearly every aspect of Buffalo's investing scene. His current roles include chairman of Vecora Incorporated, managing director and partner of Lorraine Capital, and executive chair of Egret Healthcare Ventures. Maggio also serves as board chairman of the 43 North Foundation, and ensuring its successful launch is another of his top priorities. He said the foundation will be as deliberately disruptive as possible because it's a critical component of Buffalo's entrepreneurial future. 2025 Power 250 rank, number 9. Question: how do we unlock Buffalo's full potential? Answer: storytelling. We've got to get more coordinated in our efforts to amplify what's really great about our region. The 43 North Foundation will be spending millions on a coordinated, well-planned storytelling strategy. Question: one thing you look for when hiring? Ambition. An abundance mindset, a willingness to understand that greatness comes from failure and to be able to demonstrate that there are very qualified people, but it's just not about being qualified, it's about fit. I've come to learn in my many years as a business owner that everyone has imperfections, especially me. You can do what you can to help those individuals fill those gaps. You can also fill those gaps in those individuals by the team you build. Question: something people don't know about you. Answer: I'm a classically trained pianist. I've been doing that since I was 3.5 years old. I love Beethoven. I love Rachmaninoff. I love them all. I still practice piano every night. Could be for 10 minutes. It could be for 2 hours. Question: how do you describe yourself as a boss? Answer: passionate, aware, driven, forward-thinking. I don't ever like to see anyone leave, but if they do, I want them to leave feeling like they're a better person than when they came. Your first job? My first real job was a salesman for Boehringer Mannheim, a German biotech company. Question: would you do it again? There's not a thing in my career that I would do differently. Question: if you had to pick a different career, what would you do? Answer: I don't know specifically what class, but I'd be a teacher. Question: a message for your 25-year-old self? Answer: don't worry about the future. And don't feel like you have to have life all figured out in your 20s and 30s. Figuring out life is a lifetime game. It's really important that happiness is your life's greatest ambition, not money. And I think a lack of entitlement is a strength. Question: your ultimate career goal? Answer: I want to, in a very, very small way, know that I contributed in a meaningful way to helping Buffalo win this race that defines itself for relevance right now. There's a lot of people who are doing good things to support that, and I just want to play a small part in that effort. Interview by Josh Gully. You're listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Business First on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. In The Business of Healthcare by Tracy Drury, in Chautauqua County, Kaleida to build a $223 million micro-hospital. Brooks Memorial replacement could be open by late 2028. Kaleida Health Plans to begin construction early next year on a micro hospital in Chautauqua County at a cost of $223 million. The system will begin site preparation before winter on North Chautauqua Hospital, a 133,000 square foot hospital at 412 East Main Street in Fredonia, which will replace the existing Brooks Memorial Hospital in Dunkirk. Pending final state approvals, the new hospital could open by late 2028. Kaleida, which is partnering with Brooks TLC Hospital Systems Incorporated on the project, pointed to years of inflation that affected construction costs, including labor, materials, supplies, and equipment, for a tripling in cost from the initial project proposed in 2017. Then the partners pitched a 100,000-square-foot, 29-bed hospital in Pomfret with a price tag of $67 million, which later went up to $74 million. The new application, filed with the State Department of Health, follows a $74 million commitment by the state last year to build a new hospital. Other funding comes through a safety net transformation grant awarded in January and earlier state grants. Kaleida CEO Don Boyd said the partnership between the state and the two health systems, as well as positive pressure from the community, helped make the project a reality. The will and resources of all those coming together to make that a reality is something for that community, for the governor, and for her team to be proud of, that we're going to be able to preserve access for years to come, he said. The proposed micro-hospital will replace the 65-bed, 180,000-square-foot hospital that was built in Dunkirk in 1942 and expanded in 1962. The new one-story hospital will have 15 medical surgical beds and another 5 for observation, an emergency department with 16 bays, including designated trauma, bariatric, and sexual assault services, 3 operating rooms, 3 procedure rooms, a full imaging suite and pharmacy, laboratory, and other support services. It will also include medical office space to provide primary care and other outpatient services, plus a helipad. Under Professional Services by Jacob Tierney, M&A, Danforth sale likely means hefty payday. 236 employee owners stand to gain from acquisition by EMCOR. EMCOR Group's November 1st acquisition of Tonawanda-based John W. Danforth Company likely resulted in a significant payday for hundreds of Danforth employees, though details have not been made public. Danforth, which had an employee stock ownership program, was a 100% employee-owned mechanical contractor. Though Danforth has more than 1,000 employees, most of those were contractors, not part of the ESOP. There were 236 active employees who were part of the ESOP as of the start of 2024, according to documents filed by the company with the U.S. Department of Labor. While we do not share confidential details regarding the ESOP, we are gratified that this transaction recognizes the hard work and dedication of Danforth's employee owners and allows them to benefit from the company's success in serving its customers over many years, Connecticut-based EMCOR Group said in a statement. Financial details of the acquisition have not been disclosed, but companies typically pay well above book value when making an acquisition, according to Feng Tang, or Jiang, associate professor of finance at the University of Buffalo School of Management. On average, the acquiring firm is going to pay a premium to get a target, Jiang said. The employees of the target could get perhaps a high value. That value could come in the form of cash or stock in the acquiring company, depending on how the deal is structured, Jiang said. The deal likely required approval from employees in the ESOP, Jiang said. If the majority of shareholders, in this case employees, think it's a great deal, then they're going to be able to approve this deal, he said. The ESOP likely will be dissolved as Danforth is absorbed into EMCOR, a publicly traded company, Jiang said. Danforth will operate as an indirect, wholly owned subsidiary within EMCOR's Mechanical Construction Services segment, according to EMCOR's announcement. In the focus on commercial real estate and construction, after the city's legal victory, what's next for these buildings by Jacob Tierney? The owner still wants to demolish fire-damaged cobblestone district structures. The city of Buffalo scored a legal victory this fall in the prolonged dispute over two fire-damaged buildings in the cobblestone district. But the fight is far from over as the city continues to try to take control of the historic properties from owner Daryl Carr. It's a showdown that long predates the 2024 fire, resulting in a complex web of overlapping court cases. The 4th Department Appellate Division Court in October upheld a lower court ruling issued before the fire that the Buffalo Housing Court didn't have the authority to issue emergency demolition orders for the buildings. That means Carr can't knock down the buildings at 110 and 118 South Park Avenue. Carr said he's going to continue to try to demolish the buildings, as he has ever since he bought them. They can't be repaired economically, he said. The city wants to take my property without paying me when I've got millions of dollars invested in this. City leaders celebrated the court decision as an important step toward preserving the buildings. This latest court division reaffirms what we've known to be true for years, that 110 to 118 South Park are worth preserving, Common Council member Mitch Nowakowski said in a statement. For years, the city has been forced to navigate a frustrating legal maze to hold a senseless absentee landlord accountable. This ruling will hopefully move us one step closer to reclaiming and restoring these structures. Originally a bakery, the building at 110 South Park Avenue was constructed in 1852, making it one of the oldest buildings in the city. It and its connected neighbor at 118 South Park Avenue have been vacant for decades. Carr's company, Park Avenue Estates, LLC, bought 110 South Park Avenue in 2009 and 118 South Park Avenue in 2019. He's proposed several developments for the site, including a 55-story skyscraper. It would be the tallest building in Buffalo by far, but the proposal has yet to take any concrete steps toward becoming a reality. The people who know me know I can pull off a project like this, Carr said. Buffalo Housing Court, in 2023, granted a demolition permit for both buildings. The city fought the permit, saying the historic buildings should be preserved. On June 18, 2024, Erie County Judge Sheila DiTullio reversed the demolition order, saying the housing court did not have the authority to issue the permit. That's the ruling that was upheld this month by the appellate court. Later that day, a 2-alarm fire heavily damaged both buildings at the site. The cause of the fire is unknown. The buildings were heavily damaged, and the city has taken steps to preserve them. Despite the fire, city officials say they still want to save and restore the buildings. Carr said the buildings were not insured. He said the city has allowed demolitions to move forward with other historic, heavily damaged buildings, such as the Great Northern Grain Elevator, the Old Pink, and Mulligan's Brick Bar, the latter two of which were also heavily damaged by fires. He said the same should be allowed for his properties. They just want to believe that these are gems of buildings that they never were, he said. Eminent domain proceedings are ongoing as the city tries to take control of the buildings. This has been an unnecessary and prolonged battle with the property owner, who has repeatedly brought this matter back into court while allowing the buildings to deteriorate, Acting Mayor Christopher Scanlon said in a statement. These properties have stood vacant for more than a decade, faced repeated code violations, and were further damaged by the fire last year. It's time to move forward. And another article in the Commercial Real Estate and Construction Focus, County lays out next steps for former Westwood Country Club. The plan for the Willowdale Park includes a 9-hole golf course and public spaces by Jacob Tierney. It's been a winding road to figure out the future of the former Westwood Country Club, but now Erie County and the town of Amherst are working together to create Willowdale Park. a 9-hole golf course and public park on the 170-acre site. "The property is beautiful," said Troy Schinzel, Commissioner of Parks, Recreation, and Forestry for the county. "It's a once-in-a-generation opportunity." The county will create the golf course with 7 holes matching the layout of the historic Willowdale Golf Club, which opened in 1921 and was renamed Westwood in 1945. The county will also renovate the existing pro shop. The rest of the property will be a park with a network of walking paths. While the county is handling the golf course and the park infrastructure, the town of Amherst will use existing grant money to restore the parking lot, build restrooms, and create an accessible playground. The county has about $6.8 million dedicated to the Willowdale Park project and has granted an additional $2.4 million to the town for the park. "We have substantial funding in place to be able to make improvements to the sites," Schinzel said. The team is waiting on approval from the State Department of Environmental Conservation before work can begin in earnest. Schinzel said the golf course could be ready by late 2026, though it may take into 2027. "Collectively, both sides have some work to do over the next year or so," he said. Amherst owns the property, but the plan is to transfer ownership of the completed Willowdale Park to the county, which will operate the golf course and maintain the grounds. Willowdale would be the third county-run golf course, joining Grover Cleveland Golf Course in Buffalo and Elma Meadows Golf Course in Elma. Mensch Capital Partners bought Westwood Country Club in 2012 and closed the club in 2014. The company planned a mixed-use project, but many residents opposed the large-scale developments on the site. After prolonged debate and numerous false starts on development, Mensch in 2023 sold the land to Amherst for $7.75 million. The town then announced Amherst Central Park, a major town-run project that would have included a new theater building for the Musical Fair Theater Company, a winter market, an ice skating course, and more. That idea also drew criticism from residents who were concerned about the costs. Eventually, plans for Amherst Central Park were scrapped. The town and county earlier this year announced they were partnering to create Willowdale Park, a stripped-down project with the county footing most of the bill. There has still been some cost-related criticism on the latest plan, but Schinzel said he's confident work will be able to move forward promptly. Critics of earlier development projects wanted to preserve the land as green space, and that's what Willowdale Park will do, he said. "I think there's a false sense that there's a bigger divide here than there really is," he said. Buffalo Business First is inviting you to join our tables of experts. Position senior executives in your company as experts in their field and gain exposure among our audience of affluent business leaders. The Buffalo Business First Table of Experts is a series of roundtables that provide executives the opportunity to share information and ideas that will be featured as a special advertising section in print and online. Projected topics include artificial intelligence, retirement and estate planning, mental health, women in banking and finance, energy, human resources, disparity in healthcare, year-end planning, and women in law. Contact your account executive to reserve your space. Also, a holiday gift for single-parent families with children ages 2 to 12 years. Join us for Brunch with Santa, Saturday, December 6th, from 11 to 2, BFNC 2365 Main Street. A delicious brunch, activities for children, gift shopping and a parent relaxation treat, story time and photos with Kenta Claus, special prizes, gifts for their families, parents and children. That's from the Buffalo Federation of Neighborhood Centers. And from the Better Business Bureau, Better Business Bureau accreditation gives you instant credibility with potential customers. Get accredited today. Call Nadine Tasevsky at 716 276-3724 to get started. You're listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Business First on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Third article in Commercial Real Estate and Construction Focus, Jamal looks to trim his Western New York portfolio. The developer talks what's for sale, what's on hold, and what's ongoing by Jacob Tierney. Virtually all of Douglas Jamal's Western New York projects are on pause until economic conditions improve. Construction on a mixed-use development at the corner of Elmwood and Bidwell, which has proceeded in fits and starts, is back to full steam and is expected to wrap up in less than 6 months, according to Jamal. Other than that, things are quiet across the developer's extensive Western New York portfolio, and they are likely to remain so for some time. Everybody's on their heels until interest rates come down and banks start lending again and downtown becomes vibrant again, he said. Something needs to happen, and Douglas can't make everything happen himself. Jamal has already taken steps to reduce the size of his Western New York portfolio. In October, he sold the former Buffalo News building to the Golisano Institute for Business and Enterprise for $10 million. He bought the 160,000-square-foot office and warehouse building and the adjoining parking lot for $5.2 million in 2024. He sold only the building to Golisano, keeping the parking lot for future developers. Jamal is also in the process of selling his portion of the Boulevard Mall to Benderson Developments. Benderson will do a great job. It's their backyard, Jamal said. Jamal purchased the bulk of the mall in 2019, announcing a major mixed-use project with apartments, retail space, and offices. A portion of the mall is already owned by Benderson, while JCPenney owns its store in the mall. The town of Amherst was attempting to take over the entire mall through eminent domain and sell most of it back to Jamal for development, but legal objections from JCPenney led the process to stretch on for years. Obviously, it took longer than I expected with the eminent domain. I emptied the mall out. It was dragging me down, he said. This fall, Jamal sold the former Curtis Mall Malt House building at 1100 Niagara Street and two adjoining properties to a Rich Products affiliate. In June, he ceded control of the Richardson Hotel, which his company managed but did not own, to the nonprofit Richardson Center Corp. And in March, he dropped plans to purchase a vacant lot from the city of Lackawanna to build a $35 million development. He's tried to sell more of his local properties, but has struggled to find buyers. Jamal has held two auctions for the Walter J. Mahoney State Office Building at 65 Court Street, Buffalo, which he bought at auction for $4.1 million in 2021. Jamal said bidding was heated then and almost non-existent when he tried to sell it. There was no market. There were no buyers, he said. That's a reflection of how bad it's gotten the last few years. In 2024, he listed for sale the historic Williams Butler Mansion at 672 Delaware Avenue, but interest has been sluggish. I'd like to sell, but where are the people? But are people willing to buy it or pay for it? He said. Jamal said his focus is primarily on downtown Buffalo, though there's unlikely to be much sign of progress there in the near future either. We were on an uptick prior to COVID, and now we're on a downtick, he said. The developer, who in his early Buffalo years eschewed most forms of tax breaks and public assistance, now says more help is needed from the city and state to kickstart development, particularly at the Statler, where Jamal has proposed a $150 million renovation of the historic hotel. Jamal said that project can't happen without public assistance. The state has pledged $12.5 million for the project. We need some help. The numbers don't work, Jamal said. He expressed frustration with the city, saying he hasn't had many productive conversations with city leaders. I think that the Statler should be the city's highest priority, he said. Jamal said he still believes in Buffalo's potential, but that there hasn't been enough public support for business and development in the wake of COVID. Business is not an enemy, he said. Buffalo was built around business. Buffalo was built around industry. Buffalo was built around development. That's what made Buffalo prosper. That's gone. That's what needs to be put back into Buffalo. As mentioned, the special focus of this issue is 40 under 40. Since 1992, 1,320 young professionals have been selected as 40 under 40 honorees by Buffalo Business First. The 40 men and women you'll meet on the following pages bring that total to 1,360. It's not easy to make the cut. This year alone, we had about 280 nominations, the largest group in at least a decade, if not ever. Each honoree is working in and out of the office to better Western New York. Congratulations. Honorees are chosen through an independent editorial review, with selections based entirely on their merits, achievements, and contributions to their organizations and local community. Commercial interests with the Buffalo Business First are not considered. Review panels may be composed entirely of Buffalo Business First leadership or in combination with outside judges determined by the news department. The Buffalo Business First editorial leadership has final say and approval for all awards and honorees. Along with Buffalo Business First editorial staff, the following former 40 under 40 honorees helped select this year's honorees. Siobhan Cousins, head of sustainability at M&T Bank. Joshua Howard, director of talent development, Seneca Gaming Corp. Darius Miles, president and CEO, D. Miles Incorporated. Michelle Giochi Adams, editor-in-chief, Business First. Sarah Paulson Meehan, Managing Director, Business First, and Josh Gully, Associate Editor of Business First. Because of time considerations, not all people mentioned here will be read on online. So if you would like to hear about someone else who's on there, please call 716-821-5555, and staff will be happy to read it to you. Bashir Ansari is Vice President and Product Developer for Enterprise Data Center at Citi. Age 38, graduate of Hutchinson Central Technical High School. College, a BS in Entrepreneurship from SUNY Buffalo State University. Born in Buffalo, lives in Buffalo. Joined the company in 2010. Married to Stephanie and has children, Zachariah and Nadia. For community involvement, co-executive director, Solid Foundation Prep. Boards of Masjid Newman and Newman Community Development, JV Boys Basketball Coach at McKinley High School. If time and money were no object, what would you do? Open a cutting-edge school for tech and athletics. There's so much crossover between those two fields. Best advice you've received? Your work will walk into rooms before you do, so never underestimate your contributions. Advice for work-life balance? Embrace your family first. Then find things you're passionate about and invest in them the same way you do your career. Most people don't know. In Arabic, my first name means good news bringer, and my last name means helper. One thing you want to accomplish in the next 10 years, be a part of the group that brings an athletic and educational facility to Buffalo. Ashley Coder, Director of Development, Buffalo Prep. Age 38, graduate of West Seneca West High School. College, a BA in Psychology and Human Services, Elmira College, and MS, Communications and Leadership, Canisius University. Born in Buffalo, lives in Hamburg. Joined the company in 2019. Married to Robert, with Graham as their son. Community involvement, Class Chair, Leadership Buffalo, Women United Advisory Board, United Way of Buffalo and Erie County. Grants Committee, 50 Fabulous Women Giving Circle. Member, Equity Alliance of Western New York. Proudest professional accomplishment? I'm especially proud of helping to raise Buffalo Prep's $2.4 million annual budget entirely from private sources. Best advice you've received? Sometimes good is good enough. It's a lesson in giving myself grace, moving forward without overthinking, and trusting that progress is better than perfection. Advice for work-life balance? Prioritize moments. As Shonda Rhimes once shared, when you're thriving in one area, you're likely falling short in another. And that's okay. Most people don't know I'm a type C personality. I'm the kind of person who makes color-coded to-do lists, but also loses them under a pile of papers. April Contreras is the product manager for New York Power Authority. She's 39, a graduate of Herbert H. Lehman High School in Bronx. College BS, Electrical Engineering Technology at SUNY Buffalo State University. MBA, University at Buffalo. Born in the Bronx, lives in Buffalo. Joined the company in 2016. spouse Antonio Harrington, and children Antonio Jr. Community Involvement Board, Hispanic Heritage Council of Western New York. If time and money were no object, what would you do? Live by the beach on Puerto Rico and spend my time doing free STEM activities with young children in the community. Proudest professional accomplishment? Advocating for myself when I was a junior engineer to manage a large construction project after being told it was going to a more senior engineer. I was put on as the lead engineer, and it turned out to be the largest construction project I managed. Best advice you've achieved? Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Most people don't know. I used to work at Disney World through the Disney College program. I worked in operations in Fantasyland and operated the teacup and Winnie the Pooh rides. One thing you want to accomplish in the next 10 years. I'm looking to have my professional engineering license and start my own business. Marilyn Forcucci, Executive Director of the Buffalo City Mission, age 38, graduate of Toms River High School, North Toms River, New Jersey. College BA in Criminology, John Jay College. Born in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and lives in Hamburg. Joined the company in 2016. Spouse, Christopher. Children, Abigail, Logan, Ethan. Community Involvement, Planning Committee, Project Homeless Connect. Council member, Free Little Pantry. If time and money were no object, what would you do? I'd continue to do the work I am doing today. I feel incredibly blessed to be in a position where my skills and passions align perfectly with a purpose greater than myself. Proudest professional accomplishment? My proudest professional accomplishment is not a single achievement, but the collective success of the people I serve. It's in the daily work of seeing a team member grow, witnessing a client's life change for the better, and knowing that our consistent, collaborative efforts created a lasting impact. Best advice you've received? Don't raise your voice. Improve your argument. Advice for work-life balance? It's easy to get caught up in the chaos and feel like you're falling short, but the key is to be fully engaged in the task at hand, whether that's leading a critical meeting or cheering on your son's baseball team. Be there. Darnell Haywood, Jr., AVP, Community Responsibility Officer, Bank on Buffalo, a division of CNB Bank, age 38, graduate of Bennett High School, college, bachelor's, business administration and marketing, Bryant and Stratton College. Born in St. Louis, Missouri. Lives in Buffalo, joined the company in 2017. Community involvement, president, Buffalo Urban League Young Professionals. Boards of Beau Fleuve Music and Arts, Persistence Preparatory Charter School, Board Strong, Queen City Clean Water, Buffalo Sewer Authority. If time and money were no object, what would you do? I would explore and travel the world, learning about different cultures and foods. Best advice you have received? One of my spiritual leaders always says, pursue excellence until excellence is achieved. Advice for work-life balance? Do things that make you happy. I'm very active and able to balance. I enjoy making a difference, and I also get to enjoy life while doing it. One thing you want to accomplish in the next 10 years. Submit a charter for a minority-owned bank within the region. I am well aware of the systemic barriers minorities face in accessing banking and lending services. Being able to understand and build generational wealth and financial wellness would be amazing for the communities we serve. Brittany Jones, Senior Principal Law Clerk, Supreme Court of the State of New York, Appellate Division, 4th Department. Age 36, graduate of Southington High School, Southington, Connecticut. College, BS, Political Communication, Emerson College, MS, Telecommunication and Network Management, and JD, Syracuse University. Born in Washington, D.C., lives in Kenmore. Joined company in 2018. Spouse, Mitchell. Children, Lily, Maya, Monty, and Jaden. Community involvement, State Director, Women's Bar Association of the State of New York. Nominations Chair, Minority Bar Association of Western New York. Founder and board member, New York Youth Law Academy, trustee, Village of Kenmore. Proudest professional accomplishment. I successfully litigated a case during which I saved a client from being unhoused. Best advice you received? To whom much is given, much is required. Luke 12:48. Advice for work-life balance. I believe that if you love what you do and have the right people around you, the balance comes naturally. Search for the job that fulfills you, and search for the people that support you. Most people don't know, when I have time, I don't have much time lately, I write poetry and other works. And Rosalind Lai, cerebrovascular neurosurgeon, assistant professor of neurosurgery, UB neurosurgery medical director of neurosciences, Millard Fillmore Suburban Hospital, age 36, graduate of Crofton House School, Vancouver, British Columbia, college BA in neuroscience, Wellesley College, MD, Harvard Medical School. Credentials, FAANS, FCNS. Born in Hong Kong, lives in Buffalo. Joined company in 2022. Community involvement, mentor and speaker, Jacobs Institute and Jacobs School of Medicine and Biomedical Sciences. Mentor, Women in Neurointervention Committee, Society of Neurointerventional Surgery. Volunteer, Erie County SPCA. Proudest professional accomplishment, seeing parents walk into my clinic for a follow-up after a stroke or brain, seeing patients walk into my clinic for a follow-up after a stroke or brain bleed. Knowing that our work helps patients regain independence has been the most meaningful part of my career. Advice for work-life balance, work and life in neurosurgery often blend. Balance is not about strict separation, but about managing priorities so professional and personal passions coexist. One thing you want to accomplish in the next 10 years? My goal is to reach a point where I can tell a patient that there's a new way to treat their stroke so they can speak, walk, and regain independence. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Business First on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. More from the 40 Under 40, Jonathan McGrath, Assistant Director, PUNT Pediatric Cancer Collaborative, age 38, graduate of East Aurora High School. College, B.S. in Business and Sports Management from SUNY Fredonia, M.S. in Sports Administration, Canisius University. Born in East Aurora, lives in West Seneca. Joined the company in 2021. Spouse, Ashley. Children, Henry, Cooper, Jet, and Lucy. Community involvement, co-founder, Western New York Compassion Connection, volunteer high school football coach. If time and money were no object, what would you do? I would do much of what I'm doing now, but potentially focus more on advocacy. My path into nonprofit leadership wasn't chosen out of ambition, but driven by the loss of my son Cooper in 2021 at age 2. That experience forever changed me and instilled deep purpose in ensuring that no family has to navigate pediatric illness or grief without practical support. Best advice you've received: treat the CEO and the janitor with the same amount of respect. Advice for work-life balance? You can't pour from an empty cup, and there are so many ways our body and mind can be re-energized when surrounding ourselves with people and places that help fill that cup. Most people don't know, my grandparents, Nick and Dottie, ran a local toy store called Brain Train Toys for many years in Orchard Park and West Seneca. Ryan Miller, President, T-Mark Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, age 37. Graduate of Williamsville South High School, BA in Economics from SUNY Geneseo. Born in Buffalo, lives in Buffalo. Joined the company in 2012 and is married to Eileen with children Noel, Beau, and Neve. Community involvement board, BOCES Educational Foundation. Fundraiser for PUNT Pediatric Cancer Collaborative, T-Mark Tune-Up Fundraising. Participant, 117 Holes Golf Event for Kaleida Health and Oshai Children's Hospital. Supporter, Compassionate Care Center of Western New York, Seneca Street Development, Community Development. Coach and supporter, Hurdle North Park Basketball League. Baseball League, sorry. If time and money were no object, what would you do? Stay home with my kids in the morning for sure. Our business can be a busy one in the morning, so I often have to run out the door early, and my wife tackles the morning chaos without me. Proudest professional accomplishment? Growing and developing our team at T-Mark from 5 employees to 120. Watching technicians come into our group as fresh trade school graduates evolving into incredible, successful adults is as good as it gets. Best advice you've received? Never let perfect get in the way of progress. With a growing organization, if you aren't making changes effectively with proper intentions, you will fall behind. Ekua Menzaidu, President, Clementine Gold Group, LLC, age 39. Graduate of Liverpool High School, Liverpool, New York. College, BS, Exercise Science, Community Health, University of Buffalo. MPA, Hilbert College. Born in Syracuse, lives in Buffalo. joined the company in 2019. Community involvement, boards of Tech Buffalo and Launch New York, Communities of Giving Legacy Initiative Council member, Western New York Regional Committee for the Smithsonian American Women's History Museum, Advisory Board, Founders Go Big. Proudest professional accomplishment? Walking away from a leadership role to build Clementine Gold Group was both the biggest risk and the most rewarding decision I've made. Best advice you've received? Don't run away from something, run toward something. Vision. Advice for work-life balance. Rest is just as important as pushing through the work. True balance comes from giving yourself permission to pause, recharge, and enjoy life outside of your to-do list. Most people don't know, I named my business after my grandmother, Clementine, whose strength and grace continue to inspire me. The gold in Clementine Gold Group represents the Gold Coast of Ghana, where my father's side of the family is from. Together, my name is a tribute to my roots, my heritage, and the values that guide my work. Marcia Correa Stevens, CEO, Intersect Buffalo, age 39, graduate of City Honors School, born in 29 Palms, California. Lives in Amherst, joined the company in 2025, spouse Tanika. Children, Zaria, Navy, Marcia Jr. Community involvement, board and DEI committee, United Way of Buffalo and Erie County. Board, Buffalo Prep. New York State Cannabis Advisory Board. Minister, Cross Nation. If time and money were no object, what would you do? Create environment and experiences for people to eat, laugh, dance, sing, karaoke, play games, watch sports, and share stories. Proudest professional accomplishment, starting Intersect Buffalo. Best advice you received? You are ridiculously in control of your life. Get some mentorship and start saying yes to opportunities. Advice for work-life balance? Never neglect what can't be replaced. Balance looks different at different times and seasons in your life. Most people don't know my first name is Marseille, and my middle name is pronounced Kiria. One thing you want to accomplish in the next 10 years, building a thriving empowerment district that is as loved, believed in, and resourced as Josh Allen. Lindsay Taylor, Director of Development, Police Athletic League of Buffalo Incorporated, age 37, graduate of Sweet Home High School, College BBA Marketing, SUNY Buffalo State, born in Buffalo, lives in Buffalo, joined the company in 2023, spouse Christina, children Melanie, Mackenzie, Marley, Sir Laval. Community involvement, founder and chairman, Beaufort of Music and Arts. Board, Explore and More, the Ralph C. Wilson Children's Museum. Community Advisory Committee, Buffalo AKG Art Museum. If time and money were no object, what would you do? Travel the world with my family and live abroad, short term in various cities and countries. Set up an endowment to carry out the mission-driven work that I cherish. Proudest professional accomplishment? Being inducted into the Sweet Home High School Distinguished Alumni Hall of Fame. Best advice you've received? Don't make a decision until you need to make a decision. Most people don't know that I have more of an introvert personality compared to the extrovert activities and initiatives I'm involved in. One thing you want to accomplish in the next 10 years? Launch at least one community development in real estate. Adriana Viveret, radio personality and producer, Town Square Media of Buffalo, age 38, graduate of McKinley High, college, BA, Communications, University of Buffalo, MBA, Medea University, born in Buffalo, lives in Buffalo, joined the company in 2009, community involvement, vice president of marketing and strategic partnerships, Intersect Buffalo, creator of the Go Get a Scholarship, vice president, National Association of Black Journalists, Buffalo chapter. Class Chair, Leadership Buffalo, Boards of Peace Prince of Western New York, Beaufort of Music and Arts Celebration, Persistence Prep Academy, Buffalo Urban League Young Professionals, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Gamma Phi Omega Chapter. If time and money were no object, what would you do? Exactly what I do now, just on a larger scale, creating platforms to amplify voices, educate, entertain, and empower my community through media, storytelling, and connection. The mission wouldn't change, only the reach. Proudest professional accomplishment? Building the G Suite Studio, my own podcast and media production space, while negotiating the syndication of my podcast, The G Code, with Adri V, with the Revolt Podcast Network. Most people don't know. I get nervous before I speak. Jared Threat, community outreach partner, Moog Incorporated, age 39, graduate of Sweet Home High School, college, BS in Business Administration, and MBA, University of Buffalo. Born in Buffalo, lives in Buffalo. Joined the company in 2021, spouse Rihanna, children Cameron. Community involvement, co-chair, Buffalo AKG Art Museum Convergence Council. Boards of Buffalo Olmsted Parks Conservancy, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Erie Niagara, and the Southern Tier. If time and money were no object, what would you do? Be a teacher or a coach? Proudest professional accomplishment, graduating college. First in my immediate family who has a four-year degree. Best advice you received, never burn a bridge. You may not know who your next boss or employee will be. Advice for work-life balance. Know that the balance is aspirational. Sometimes there are periods where you have to devote more time to work, and that requires sacrifice. Most people don't know I hold a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. One thing you want to accomplish in the next 10 years. I would like to be more involved in the progress and growth of the city, bring strategic thought among private, public, and government on how we can all make strong impacts for all. Brandon Vesey, executive director and co-founder, Responders on a Mission International, age 38. Graduate of Christian Central Academy College, BS Information Technology at Empire State College. Born in Amherst, lives in Tonawanda. Joined the company in 2012. Spouse, Alicia. Children, Liliana. Community involvement, second assistant fire chief, Ellicott Creek Volunteer Fire Company. Rescue scuba diver, Town of Amherst Underwater Search and Rescue Team. Proudest professional accomplishment, being able to start an international nonprofit. What started as an idea to support first responders has turned into an international ministry with outreaches in Western New York, Richmond, Virginia, Hart County, Georgia, the Dominican Republic, and Honduras. Best advice you've received? Lead with integrity. Advice for work-life balance. Prioritize time with family because I've learned that our children won't care about or remember how many medals are on our chest or how many awards we receive, but they care about and remember the times that we are there with them. Most people don't know I consult with small churches to provide IT solutions and upgrades. Ashley Rudick, President, Catholic Health Life, age 39, graduate of Orchard Park High. College, BA, Accounting, University of Buffalo, MBA, St. Bonaventure. Credentials, CPA, born in Buffalo, lives in Orchard Park. Joined company in 2014, spouse William, children Layla and Finley. Community involvement, actively involved in the state and national PACE program for all-inclusive care for the elderly associations. Alzheimer's Association volunteer. If time and money were no object, what would you do? Start an independent healthcare research organization that was not subject to the bias of funders in hopes of advancing our understanding in the treating of diseases, developing new therapies and diagnostics, and advancing health equity. Proudest professional accomplishment, being part of the team that opened two new PACE sites, Villa Maria College, 2019, and Duvalk University, 2025, in Erie County, allowing increased access to PACE services for our frail elders in the community. Best advice you've received. Work collaboratively, share your knowledge. There is room for everyone's boat to float. Most people don't know. I love being around the water. Being at the ocean is my favorite place to be. If you want to hear others that were included in this, please call 716-821-5555 and staff will be happy to read them to you. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the November 21st to 27th issue of Buffalo Business First. We read from Buffalo Business First every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Your reader has been Dasha. Thank you for listening.
Coming up next in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, we have Time Magazine. At 8 o'clock, we have the New York Times. And following that, at 9 o'clock, we have Discover Magazine. Stay with us for these readings and more throughout the day. Thank you for listening. Thank you. program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision,